Are you struggling to lose weight and keep it off? Tired of wasting time and money on starvation diets that lead to more frustration and stress? If there was a weight loss solution that could actually work for you, would you try it? Then head to golo.com.
I'm Steve. I lost 138 pounds in 9 months on Golo.
I'm Amber. I've lost 128 pounds with Golo.
If you're ready to take back control of your life, head to golo.com now and see how Golo can work for you. That's golo.com.
My sleep is way better. My inflammation has gone way down. Golo saved my life. I was way overweight. That's what sent me down the path. I wanted to make sure and live for my kid.
I have literally tried everything. I was on the verge of getting gastric bypass surgery, and I saw the Golo commercial, and it was the last thing I tried because it worked.
Join over 2 million people who found a better way to lose weight with Golo. Your healthier and happier life begins at golo.com. That's golo.com. Again, golo.com.
Luke Dukak of the News and Observer is here with us now on the Adam Gold Show. A lot to discuss. Are you preparing road trips to the Bay Area for ACC football and basketball yet?
I mean, I barely go anywhere beyond Charlottesville, so I'm not too worried about Dallas or Berkeley or, that's not usually in my job description. Bowl games, NCAA tournament, hockey playoffs, maybe a season opening game somewhere. So no, I'm not worried about having to fly to the Bay Area five times a year. If I were a softball coach, I might be a little bit, but I mean, I wrote this last week. The ACC is very smart to look at Cal and Stanford. It's smart to look at SMU. As someone who's been around the league for a long time, I don't think any of it makes sense.
No.
I don't think it makes sense from their perspective. It certainly doesn't make sense from my perspective. But I think it's fun. I think they'd be dumb not to explore every option. And honestly, I think they should have been a little more ready to strike a couple of weeks ago when things started to fall apart in the Pac-12, because I do think there was common ground between the ACC and Pac-12 to do a sort of business coexistence and with a sort of separate cohabitation competitively that would have made sense, so a sort of rights sharing partnership that would have helped the ACC network, would have helped the Pac-12, would have helped ESPN. But obviously that was off the table once everybody started to panic. So I'm not worried about that for several reasons, one of which is they'd be stupid to do it.
They meaning Cal and Stanford would be stupid to do it, or the ACC? I think the whole thing silly.
The ACC.
But
Cal and Stanford too. But I love the idea of Jack Swarbrick saying that the ACC should add Cal and Stanford. Like, doctor, heal thyself, buddy. Like, there's one thing, we all know it. There's one thing that can help the ACC, and it has a lot to do with Jack Swarbrick and where he is. Mm-hmm. The idea that Notre Dame is... Hey, the idea that Notre Dame gets a full vote with a 20% share of revenue is ludicrous to begin with. But the ACC gave away the cow to get that milk. And then the idea that he's making suggestions as to what the ACC should do, certainly there's some crocodile tears there.
Let me ask you this question. I brought this up before. It doesn't bother me that Notre Dame gets a full vote on this. And frankly, as the math works, it really doesn't matter. As long as they are, if they vote in favor.
Wait, it doesn't bother you that Notre Dame gets a full vote on ACC football matters?
No, it doesn't. I mean, this is more about conference.
That's like me
matters.
Getting to decide whether you get a raise or not.
Well, I would be in favor of that too, Luke. If
be careful what you wish for.
I would be in favor of you. Hey, look, if you vote no, that doesn't hurt me. It's the same. So. Here's if there was a scale, and the relationship on and the scale is of the relationship between the ACC and Notre Dame. Do you think it tips one way or the other?
Based on Cal and Stanford?
No. Just in general, the current relationship between the ACC and Notre Dame.
Oh, globally speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's I don't think Notre Dame will join the ACC of its own.
That's not my question.
But hold on, this is where I'm going with it.
Okay.
I do think the relationship between Notre Dame and the ACC could materially change if one of two things happens. One is ESPN/Disney, really, in its search for a strategic partner for ESPN, sells half of ESPN to Comcast/NBC Universal, and suddenly Notre Dame is no longer the most attractive college football property at NBC. I think that would materially change the relationship. The other one is NBC is going back to Notre Dame. Their deal has two more football seasons to run. That deal, based on the current rights market, is not going to be a good one.
No.
The NBC is already committed to Saturday nights with the Big Ten. Notre Dame's already their number two priority now. That's changed since the last deal. There's no money in any deals. Ask the Pac-12. It's a terrible time to go to market. And if Notre Dame looks at a deal that has a game or two on big NBC and a bunch of games on USAA and a bunch of games on Peacock, you know, then the relationship with the ACC may change because the ACC may look a hell of a lot more attractive. So that would be sort of the landscape there. If NBC, if the market stabilizes and ESPN and NBC and Comcast and Disney aren't all in bed together, you know, I think Notre Dame will probably get a deal that works for Notre Dame and we'll all move on from there.
All right. So I want to ask the question again. If the relationship between the ACC and Notre Dame were a scale, would it tip one way or the other in favor of one or the other right now as it is currently?
Well, I mean, no. I mean, right now, as it is currently, Notre Dame has no reason to fully join the ACC. It just also doesn't have a way to leave. So there is no sort of fulcrum to pivot on here. The grant of rights has Notre Dame locked in, same as everybody else in everything but football. And Notre Dame has no reason to join the ACC right now as long as independence works for it, which it does. And look, man, you know, whether Jack Swarbrick ends up running the CFP or not, which is certainly the
rumor
on the street, Notre Dame's going to be just fine in an expanded CFP. Now, if the Big Ten and SEC start to get hot feet and start throwing their weight around and saying, hey, why are we sharing with everybody else? And Notre Dame gets squeezed out on that again. That could change. But no, I don't think the relationship is really materially has the spirit of the relationship or any of that has any reason to change right now. There's no development that's happened yet that would change it.
Luke Tacock of the News and Observer is here. I clearly have said it incorrectly. I've either confused you or not. I think the ACC gets as much out of the current relationship or more with Notre Dame as Notre Dame. I think the overall sentiment is that Notre Dame is getting so much out of the ACC, and I think it's level or even tipped in favor of the Atlantic Coast Conference. Let me just move on to something else, because I know Florida State has been talking up this great game like, oh, man, we're gonna ditch this. We're going to buy our way out of the grant of rights for probably $500 million. And we're going to go to the SEC, as though the SEC wants anything to do with Florida State or the Big Ten wants anything to do with Florida State. North Carolina is probably the most attractive school to whether it's the SEC or the Big Ten. That's just the way I look at it. North Carolina's got more of a brand name than not for football, but as a university. And I think the Big Ten would definitely be interested in North Carolina. Could you see North Carolina going without NC State?
I mean, I could. I think the legislature has been remiss in not putting some sort of provision in. I recommended it 2 years ago. And, of course, if the legislature ever listened to me, this would be a very different state. But, no, absolutely I could see North Carolina going without NC State and Duke. Look, man, if we've learned anything from this realignment stuff, it is every school for itself. Nobody cares about the greater good of a conference. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares about the greater good of college sports. Nobody cares about the athletes. It is get your bag. It is every nickel for itself. And these college presidents will do anything they can to squeeze every last nickel out of this operation, even if it kills it. So, yeah, if North Carolina gets an offer to join the Big Ten or the SEC, which is also certainly something I could foresee happening down the road, I don't think North Carolina would look back for a second. And you know what? Nor should they, because no one's looking out for them either. In this current environment, it really is every man for himself, every school for himself, every woman for herself. North Carolina doesn't have any obligation to NC State or Duke, and nor does NC State or Duke to North Carolina. Should they? Completely different question. Absolutely they should. Absolutely Duke and NC State are two of the things that make North Carolina great, mm-hmm. and vice versa, those rivalries. Would North Carolina be stupid to leave them behind in search of money? Absolutely. Would it stop North Carolina or Clemson or Florida State or any other school from doing what they thought would make it a dollar more in 2028? No, of course it wouldn't. That's all anyone thinks about these days. And it's, you know, doing, I think, serious damage to college sports because of it. But we'll find out in 5 years if anyone really wants to watch Rutgers in Minnesota and UCLA and Oregon.
I don't believe that we will see North Carolina and North Carolina State in different financial situations. I can't close my eyes and see North Carolina with – they already have a little bit of an advantage in terms of budget, right? They have an – their budget is big. Their athletic department budget is bigger than NC State's. We understand that. But I don't – I can't even fathom a world in where the state legislature allows North Carolina to get – $90 million a year annually in media revenue from the Big Ten, where NC State is stuck in a diluted ACC for $35 million. I can't see it. I don't think if State could find a landing spot in the SEC, the other league that pays out that money, then I could see them separated, but I don't think you'd ever see them in different financial situations, even though there is no actual obligation. Maybe that's just me being kind of married to the past. I don't know, but I just don't see that happening. How big of a problem is it, Luke? And we'll close on hurricane stuff. How big of a problem is it for you that the Hurricanes don't have a minor league affiliate or an AHL affiliate? They do have a minor league AHL affiliate in Norfolk in the ECHL. There won't be any prospects there. They could have a goalie there, to be honest. Yanni Peretz, the kid from Quinnipiac, probably will end up there. But how big of a problem is it without a minor league, an AHL affiliate?
You know, I don't think it's a huge problem for the winter of 2023-24. I think if this were to be a structural thing and for them to say, hey, we're not going to have an AHL affiliate, you know, for whatever reason, saving money, blah, blah, you know, we don't have enough prospects, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that makes sense. I mean, I think that's an important element of your developmental process. But I think when you look at the current state of the Hurricanes prospect pool, there are so many players who are overseas. There's so many players that they can find spots for. I think as a one-year blip, because the Chicago Wolves acted like the Chicago Wolves do, is not catastrophic. And I don't think there's any like real long-term damage that you can see will definitely be done. So I get it. I mean, they already have this hasn't been reported, I don't know necessarily, but they already have agreements with two AHL teams to send players there. You know, obviously they have the ECHL option for some of these guys. And look, I don't think it's a coincidence that they're signing every eighth defenseman on the planet. They want a bunch of guys who they can send through waivers at the end of training camp and send places who are attractive to other teams, would be attractive to AHL teams to use a veteran slot on, which is a consideration. And then have those guys available if needed over the course of the season. So, no, I don't think it's a huge issue. I mean, I think there's other bigger issues, bigger fish to fry. I do think it should be a priority figuring out a better scenario for next year, whether that's an affiliation agreement or buying a team or, you know, taking control of a team. I mean, I think there's a number of situations that make sense. In the very long term, looking out over the next 10 to 15 years, as Richmond's new arena comes online, I think the Hurricanes should look very seriously to purchasing an AHL team and putting it in the new arena in Richmond, because I think that makes a lot of sense on a lot of levels.
Caleb Jones signed yesterday as that extra defenseman who will be put through waivers at the end of training camp and go wherever. Same with Dylan Coughlin, Hurricanes top seven defenseman.
You forgot to mention a name.
Who else?
There's another guy on that list. I would not shock me if Tony D'Angelo was on waivers at the end of training camp too, to give you that freedom.
I mean, yes, maybe, but I mean,
Adam, he's not getting claimed, so you might as well get that flexibility.
Oh, that's fine, but I don't think they're sending him to the minor leagues. I mean, they may put him through waivers, but they're not sending him to the minor leagues. So I think Tony, they're going to carry seven defensemen. I think they're going to carry. I don't know if they're going to carry an extra forward. They have to carry an extra goalie unless they find a spot for Pyotr Kochetkov. But if Kochetkov wins a job in terms of you're going to play maybe opening night, if he's the best goalkeeper, I just went all soccer here. If he's the best goaltender in training camp, then maybe Kochetkov starts opening night. And I don't know what happens with three goaltenders, but it's tough to get three goaltenders work. Are you feeling good about Everton as you guys start the Premier League season this weekend?
No, I feel terrible. I don't know how anyone could feel good. The incompetent chairman still in charge. The fraudulent owner is still in charge. Yep. The alleged new investment is yet to materialize. They've signed one striker a year after they let Richarlison leave. Dominic Calvert-Lewin is still made out of stained glass. No, there's absolutely no right. reason to be excited. I'm dreading this season.
You have Jordan Pickford.
Great. You know, it doesn't matter. Your best case scenario then is to draw every game 0-0. It's going to be another long climb to 17th.
I have you guys finishing 15th. So
yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's also optimistic. It's an absolutely dismal franchise to be a fan of. It's a curse. I love the people. I love the fans. I love the legendary players and, the franchise. I mean, honestly, this is like a combination of the late Carmanos era Hurricanes and the mid Snyder era WFC, WFT, WTF.
I have no idea what that is. The Washington football team, yes.
Yes, so incredibly poorly run. Literally squandered millions of pounds just on terrible signings and terrible management. Just an absolutely abysmally run franchise or club that is now completely out of money, completely skint, and has to sell players just to keep the lights on. An absolute business school test case in how not to run a sports franchise.
And they're getting a
so,
new.
Yeah, no, thank you for.
You're welcome.
Thank you for asking, though.
They're getting a new stadium too, so just at the right time. Luke Dukak of the News and Observer.
Believe it when I. Yeah, the chances of that stadium being finished without being thrown to the creditors at some point are like close to zero.
You probably have a good point there. All right, man, I'll talk to you next week.
Vroom is the better way to buy and sell used cars. Looking for your next ride? Go to Vroom.com now to shop thousands of cars right from your phone. With Vroom, you never have to haggle or negotiate the price of the car, so you know you're getting a good deal. Best of all, when you buy a car on Vroom, they'll deliver it straight to you. Plus, all cars on Vroom.com come with a 90-day limited warranty and 1 year of nationwide roadside assistance. You can also sell or trade in your old car, too. When you sell your car on Vroom, you get an instant offer in as little as 2 minutes. If you decide to sell your car to Vroom, they'll come pick it up free of charge. Sell your car to Vroom or trade it in if you find something you like on Vroom.com. Vroom, it's the better way to buy and sell used cars. So head to Vroom.com now to see what your current ride is worth and check out thousands of cars to find your next one. That's Vroom.com. Vroom.com.